So I affectionately welcome all of you to Jamashtami. As I indicated earlier, this time we celebrate a little in the village. We expect the main bulk of visitors later, because Jamashtami today is within the weeks. I have seen many devotees, not many, some devotees who I know and want to greet separately. Welcome, Navina Nirada Prabhu. I have not seen you for some time and feel now fulfilled in my heart to see you. And there is also our Vipula, our Dr. Vipula has come, and Aram, what? Yeah, and others. Thank you very much. And here is Ananda Vardhan with a beautiful garland. Danke. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Thank you so much. Good. So, let us start. Is it good?
Jaya Radha Madhava,
Kunya Vihadi. Jaya Prabhu Pada Jaya Prabhu Pada Jaya Prabhu Pada Jila Prabhu Pada Jaya Prabhu Pada Prabhu Pada Prabhu Pada Jaya Prabhu Pada Jaya Radha Madan Mohan Radha Madan Mohan Radhe Jaya Radha Madan Mohan Radha Madan Mohan Radha Madan Mohan Radhe Jai Om Vishnupada Paramahansa Paravaraja Kacharya Ashtata Sata Si Simadis Divine Grace Sila Abhi Charanaravinda Sila Bhakti Vedanta Swami Maharaja Sila Bhupada Ki Jai Anand Koti Vaishnavarinda Ki Jai Samaveta Bhakta Varinda Ki Jai Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bo All glories to the Assembly Bodies All glories to the Assembly Bodies All glories to the Assembly Bodies All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga All glories to Srila Prabhupada Hare Krishna Krishna, 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 Krishna. There were two statements of Srila Prabhupada which absolutely shocked those devotees who were there. This was for the first statement, and the other is a statement he will make in the purport to this verse. The first statement, which at least shocked many of us, I spoke to a few Prabhupada disciples just recently who were there, was when Prabhupada said, even if you are a drunkard, you still can become a great yogi if you meditate that the taste in the wine is Krishna. I just talked to my older brother a few days ago, and he said, when I heard this, I thought, what? Have I heard? And he said, I was so immature at that time that I just couldn't understand the statement. In other places, Prabhupada has said that Krishna is the taste of the earth and Krishna is the taste in water. So, yes, any taste is coming from him. Prabhupada's point was not about wine drinking. His point was that we as devotees obviously don't drink wine, but even if you're so far away as a person who is homeless and asking everyone for a donation and steals and is not taking showers, is unkempt, you still have a chance to become Krishna conscious. The second statement is in this verse, which I would like to read to you, or read with you. It is the Paribhasa Sutra of the entire Bhagavad Gita that means It's that verse which explains the central theme the Gita. Verse Paribhasa Sutra is a verse that just like light which is put in a dark house and then fills the or makes visible what is in the rooms. In the same way, this verse makes visible what is in the many verses of the Gita. Do you know this verse? Yes? What is the verse? Yeah. a quick glance on the table, on the blackboard helps us, but many of you know this. So it is very well known. I will chant it very briefly with you. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Man mana bhava mat bhakto. Jajimang namaskuru.
Jajimang namaskuru.
Mame vaisyasi satyam te.
Mame vaisyasi satyam te.
Pratijane priyosime.
Pratijane priyosime.
Yes, someone else, please. Manmana bhava mat bhakto. Madhyaji mam namaskuru. Mame vyashasi sadyam te. Pratijane priyosime. Thank you. A Vaishnavi, please. Man mana bhava mat bhakto. Madhyaji mam namaskuru. Mame vaisyasi satyam te.
Pratijane priyosime.
Mat mana. Thinking of me. Bhava, just become Madbhakta, my devotee, Madjaji, my worshipper, Mam, unto me, Namaskuru, offer your obeisances, Mam, unto me. Eva, certainly, Eshasi, you will come, Satyam, truly, Te, to you, Pradijane, I promise, Priyaha, dear, Asi, you are, Me, to me. Always think of me, become my devotee, worship me and offer your homage unto me. Thus you will come to me without fail. I promise you this because you are my very dear friend. Purport. The most confidential part of knowledge is that one should become a pure devotee of Krishna and always think of him and act for him. One should not become an official meditator. Life should be so molded that one will always have the chance to think of Krishna. So some arrangements need to be done, some molding. Like clay is molded into a shape, our life should be formed in such a way that it's conducive, it gives us the chance to think of Krishna. One should always act in such a way that all his daily activities are in connection with Krishna. He should arrange his life in such a way that throughout the 24 hours he cannot but think of Krishna. And the Lord's promise is that anyone who is in such pure Krishna consciousness will certainly return to the abode of Krishna, where he will be engaged in the association of Krishna face to face. This most confidential part of knowledge is spoken to Arjuna because he is the dear friend of Krishna. Everyone who follows the path of Arjuna can become a dear friend to Krishna and obtain the same perfection as Arjuna. So up till here, I was not shocked. I have heard this many times by Srila Prabhupada. We should always mold our life in such a way that we can always think of Krishna 24 hours a day and so on. In 74, that was the time when Prabhupada visited us in Germany, he spoke about this also. He said, that should be the life of Krishna conscious people, to worship Krishna in the temple, sell his books, Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, to think of Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, to eat Krishna Prasad, to take all risk for Krishna. He gives now a list how we can think of Krishna, take a risk for Krishna, to do work for Krishna, or as Arjuna, to fight for Krishna. Arjuna did not want to fight, but for Krishna's sake, he fought. So fight for Krishna, work for Krishna, think of Krishna, eat Krishna Prasad, talk of Krishna, read of Krishna. So Krishna, 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 5 times. This is life. This is Krishna consciousness. This is a very glorified life. So, yes, I have heard this. This is how a pure devotee speaks, who is in love with Krishna. Now, who is that Krishna? Remember, the verse says, always think of me. Become my devotee. Worship me and offer your homage unto me. Who is that me? Who is that God? What is exactly his nature? How does he think? That will be the subject. And here is what surprised me. These words stress that one should concentrate his mind upon Krishna. Prabhupada gets now very concrete. The very form with two hands carrying what? A shopping bag? No. The very form with two hands carrying a flute, of course. The bluish boy with a beautiful face and something in his hair. What is in his hair? Peacock, you know everything. A peacock feather in his hair. There are descriptions of Krishna found in the Brahma Sanghita and other literatures. One should fix his mind on this original form of Godhead, Krishna. One should not even divert his attention to other forms of the Lord. The Lord has multi forms as Vishnu. Acha, we should not think of Vishnu. But he appeared in the Vasudev, no? The Lord has multi forms as Vishnu, Narayan, we should not think of Narayan, Rama, oh no, Varaha. But a devotee should concentrate his mind on the form that was present before Arjuna. This is the most, and Prabhupada goes on, this is the most confidential part of knowledge, and this is disclosed to Arjuna because Arjuna is the most dear friend of Krishna. So here it is. This is the form. Dhoti, beautiful face, peacock feather, as he wears in Vrindavan Dham, a flute, as he plays there. This particular form should be thought about. Namo, please. We all want to explore this subject, so we need blessings. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Vamine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paskajare Sadarine Sri Krishna Chaitana Prabhu Nityanandam Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Shadiyo Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. My dear devotees, Srila Advaita Acharya had one disciple, his name is Srinath Chakravarti, who was able to bring in one verse the fundamentals of the Krishna conscious philosophy or the Gaudiya Vaishnavism. The verse is well known, it is often quoted. Aradhyo Bhagavan Brajesha Tanayas Tadhama Vrindavanam. So these are five fundamental understandings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The verse continues, but I will just make a brief here. It says, Krishna, the son of Nanda, is to be worshipped. So Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj, is to be worshipped here. Please help me, there, Krishna Balaram, these are the deities which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu found in Nandagram. If I remember correctly, let me just see. Is Krishna next to Nanda Maharaj or is Krishna next to Yashoda? Next to Yashoda. To Yashoda. Yes, because he is small, he's the smaller brother, and therefore he is taken care of by the mother. So this is Krishna, but he's the son of Nanda Maharaj. This is Nanda Maharaj. And that is Balaram. He's next to Krishna. He protects Krishna because he thinks so much of Krishna, who's so playful and runs everywhere. He has also become black. Very he's an elder brother, the Dauji, has a great thought of Krishna. No, so this Krishna is to be worshipped along with a certain place, Vrindavan Dham. Of all the types of worship, the worship performed by the gopis of Vrindavan is most pleasing to Krishna. And for all these statements, Krishna, the son of Nanda, is to be worshipped along with Vrindavan, and this, the worship of the gopis who worshipped him in pure love is most pleasing. Of all this, there is authority, an authoritative scripture. It's the Srimad Bhagavatam, which brings us to the fifth point, the love of God. You know, that is the ultimate goal. This is a movement, believe it or not, for falling in love with God. That is ultimately the principle of what we try to do. We our love, which is now misplaced, mostly to us, I think, and to other things, people of this world, is to be reclaimed and put on Krishna. That's why what we practice in our life. So Krishna, Rupa Goswami, has written in this vein that Krishna is attractive and therefore worthy of our worship because of his extraordinary qualities. Now, Narayan also has qualities. Matsya has qualities. Varaha has qualities. Rama has qualities. No, Vishnu has qualities. All these forms which we should put them to the side according to the text which we just have heard and put our main attention on Krishna. The other forms we also adore because we see them as coming from Krishna. It's Krishna's extension. We are not ignoring or being against them or something, but our goal is the ultimate goal. And that is, so Narayan has 60 qualities, but Krishna has 4 extra qualities which no one of other forms of him have. It's exclusively his. They are only in his personality. Narayan has also amazing qualities. For instance, his omnipresence. He's everywhere. But in Krishna, who also has this quality, these qualities which Narayan has appear so much more special because, as we saw yesterday, he appears like a human being. You know, when Mahavishnu opens, lies there and the universe has come out of him, yeah, he's Mahavishnu. But when Krishna opens his mouth, it's a little baby. And Mother Yashoda looks inside and sees all the universes. That is a combination of sweetness and a surprising display of opulence. So therefore, Krishna is so attractive because he surprises us. In one moment he cries for butter, the next moment he expands in so many Vishnu forms and shows Brahma his all pervading nature. So that's something special. So what are these 4 special qualities? I have prepared a little bit on these qualities, and I hope you will enjoy hearing it. It is based on Rupa Goswami's Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and I have taken Srila Prabhupada's summary from his nectar of devotion. So Lila Madhurya, his extraordinary pastimes. My dear devotees, these pastimes are to be studied. They are to be understood. They are to be relished. Prabhupada writes in the concluding chapter of Krishna book how we should approach these pastimes of Krishna. He says the descriptions of Krishna's pastimes is so attractive that it automatically gives us an impetus to study repeatedly. And the more we study the pastimes of the Lord, the more we become attached to him. This very attachment to Krishna makes one eligible to be transferred to his abode, Goloka Vrindavan. Just hearing this is a sadhana, my dear devotees, a sadhana through which we become attracted to Krishna. Therefore, be careful, my dear devotees, what you do with your time. Don't spend it so unnecessarily in worldly subjects. And if you do need from time to time some entertainment, as it seems to be unavoidable for us human beings, then, you know, return quickly or see what you do from the perspective of Krishna consciousness so that you are able to become attached to Krishna by hearing it. One devotee speaks about this. He said, I do know about Narayan, the husband of the goddess of fortune, and I also know of the many incarnations of the Supreme Lord. I know all this. I've heard about this. Certainly, all the pastimes of these incarnations are exciting to my mind. I get something out of it. But there's something different. The pastimes of the Rasa Leela performed by Lord Sri Krishna himself are wonderfully increasing my transcendental pleasure. Recently in our movement, there has been, not so recent, I think it was 6 years ago, it was a hot subject, but I'm always late when it comes to hot subjects and it's gone. It was, can we hear about these pastimes of Krishna? Prabhu, we are not so not advanced enough. We are not sahajiyas. That was one position. The other position was, no, you have to hear about the pastimes of Krishna so that you will become advanced. So the two factions were battling each other. A lot of data was used from Google to do that, as we always do. And this discussion came to us in the Govardhan retreat, where Burijan Prabhu, great teacher in ISKCON, very, very paka authority on Vrindavan Institute for Higher Education. Oops, we have to be a little respectful here. He quoted a verse from the 10th canto where it says one should hear the pastimes of Krishna with his dearest devotees, these gopis of Vrindavan, because this hearing will cleanse us from our from the disease of lust. This verse has sometimes been misunderstood and turned around that, okay, let me first become free from lust, then I hear these pastimes. That was the but in Sanskrit it's different. In the verse it's different. It says something different. It says, no, first you hear, you become attached to Krishna, and then you think all these other physical things which lust, which you relate to with lust, mostly is sex life, it becomes insignificant in comparison. It's not so exciting any longer. So that is the only condition we have to hear this is we should do so with faith. And it all starts with theoretical faith. Let me invest that this is this faith here, and then it comes. Prabhupada, I'm not saying here, because some of you like fights on the internet, I'm not saying here we should only hear rasa-laden literature. No, not at all. And yes, there are constrictions on this. It is said, when you hear these in detail these pastimes and there is a reaction in the male organ, then immediately you have to put the book aside. Jiva Goswami makes this portion. So if you become, or if a lady becomes I'm putting some schminke on now, I'm getting ready for the hunt, that's not the right idea, no? But you should hear, after all, this is one of the fundamental truths which Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu put into the Gaudiya tradition. No, so this devotee says, I know Narayan, I know the pastimes of the other, I have heard, I know, but there's something in this pastimes of Krishna, and when he blows on his flute and holds his devotees, calls his devotees and dances with them in the crystal clear, in the sparkling sand at the banks of the Yamuna and elsewhere, and expands himself in as many forms as millions of gopis. And so I said, this is, as the young people would say, super cool, and so on. So, Lila Madhurya, that's one thing which Narayan doesn't do, or Vishnu doesn't do. It's special to Krishna. The second is Prema Madhurya. Lord is surrounded by uniquely sweet devotees. Jiva Goswami says, when a man is alone and whistles by himself, that is a little attractive. But if he puts a flute to his lips, and there are 9 holes, or how many, I don't know. No, they're all together, I think, 9 holes. One in the bottom, one here. Then it becomes so much more melodious. Or another example is given, which shows that when there is many, when there is an enhancement to a person's life, no? Then it becomes very glorious. And another example has been given. A blue sapphire alone looks already nice, no? Blue sapphire. I must admit, I've never seen one, but I've seen one on internet. You can Google, and then it gives you a blue sapphire. But when that is in a golden ring, you know, surrounded by gold, it shines so much more. Blue and gold, beautiful. So when Krishna is surrounded by many devotees, like this golden ring which surrounds the blue-ish sapphire, then Krishna's, the whole thing becomes more beautiful. And the nectar of devotion gives us an example of the gopis. Prabhupada says, this is a little paradox, actually. He said the nectar of devotion, or Rupa Goswami gives this verse, that when Krishna left in the morning Vrindavan, do you remember through what gates? There are a few gates in Vrindavan. It's the eastern gate, and goes to the forest of Vrindavan. The gopis feel great pangs of separation. Just moments before, when they heard that Krishna is up and walks through Vrindavan to go to the forest, they had somehow run and come to see Krishna. Some of them had even banged the hands of the stepmothers who wanted to keep them, and they said, "Who is not attracted to Krishna? I have to go and see him. Don't hold me back." So they were very eager to see Krishna. Now, when he leaves Vrindavan, they become very, very sad in his absence. You can see love by the degree how you feel sad in the absence of the person you love. If you don't feel sad, most probably your love is not very high, or you have managed to make it a philosophical love, an abstract love. Mm-hmm. Then when Krishna comes back and they see him, they are also sad. And this is the paradox. They are sad when he's absent. They are sad when he is present. Do you know why they are sad?
They have to blink.
They have to blink with their eyes. Blink. I'm blinking a little longer than it's normal now. But that's what blinking means. The eyelids close over the eyes and you can't see any longer. So that little moment of not seeing Krishna made them sad. And they actually cursed Brahma, the creator, and said, "He is a dunce." Dunce means like a fool who doesn't know how to create proper eyes. He should have created us with fish eyes who don't blink. You know, fish eye doesn't have an eyelid. So yes. And in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we hear another example of this extraordinary loving devotee. Who is the supreme of all the gopis? Of course, Radharani, no? She had a problem. When she first heard the name Krishna, she became stunned. Then later, when she heard from the forest the flute song of the Lord, she became maddened. And then later, when she felt so much in love, she was already in love, but when she expressed her heart to Lalita, "I don't know what to do. I don't know how to exist in the absence of this person." Lalita had presented a picture to Radharani with Krishna, which was an exact replica of Krishna. And when she saw this, she thought, "Well, now I'm really in trouble. I am three times in love." Can you imagine that is difficult? Should I love this person, or that person? This is the in the words of Radharani. Since I have heard the name of a person called Krishna, I have practically lost my good sense. This is the name Krishna. My good sense. I can't cook. I can't do anything nicely. I just lost all my sense. Then there's a second person who plays his flute in such a way that after I hear the vibration, intense madness arises in my heart. And then on top of all this, there is still another person to whom my mind becomes attached when I see his beautiful lightning-like effulgence in his picture. I look at him, and if I look at him, there seems to be rays, brilliant rays, coming out of the picture. We have beautiful pictures here, but perhaps some of you have seen. I have not seen light coming out of the pictures. That is what happened to Srimati Radharani. I think I'm greatly condemned, for I have become simultaneously attached to three persons. This is a scandal. It would be better for me to die because of this. This means a lot of love is there. It's of course the same person. Krishna is the same as the one who plays the flute, is the same as the one who is on the picture. I'm sorry. So the third quality of Krishna is he has a unique by his all attractive flute. There is no one in the world who can even compare with Krishna's musical expertise as he plays the flute. Shiva and Brahma, who are known and worshipped as the originators or the creators of the art of music, they can't comprehend the music of Krishna. We hear when the Krishna comes home, Brahma and Shiva, they all stand on the side, because Krishna comes home not just without sound, he comes playing his flute, and they just hear this, and it's so much. I was in making a pilgrimage when I was young to a place called Chidambaram, which is the place where Lord Shiva is worshipped. And somehow or other, we hadn't planned it, but perhaps Lord Shiva had planned it. We arrived on a very particular day, which is only there once a year. It's when Shiva, it's related to Shiva. Now I have forgotten. It could be Shivaratri, but it could also be another festival. I'm not clear here about it. And there, during this time, this huge temple complex, you know, with this ancient Gopurams and the carvings in the Gopuram, becomes a place of art. You will see the best singers performing and the best dancers performing, one after the other. And it is something like an art competition, and the best artist is singled out and given a prize and so on. So we were there and we saw this, and I asked, whoops, this is a dance and sing? Yes. Shiva is the original master of the arts. Then I didn't want to argue with these brahmanas. They know so much Sanskrit, and they anyways don't believe a Westerner when it comes to this. But in my mind I thought, but Shiva can't comprehend the musical skills of our Lord Krishna. There is a verse which I want to read to you. It is quoted here in Nectar of Devotion about Krishna's the sound of Krishna's flute. Would you like to hear this voice?
Yes.
Good. The sound vibration created by the flute of Lord Krishna wonderfully stopped the dancing Shiva, who was playing his Dindima drum. He couldn't continue. Whoop, what's that music? He was just in the midst of getting into it. But what's that music? This sound vibration of the Lord's flute playing caused great sages like the four Kumaras to become disturbed in their meditation. Do you know this? When you chant your Gayatri mantra and all of a sudden the sweet sound of Led Zeppelin comes and then you ask, what is that sound? What is it doing here? You know, so in the same way, I'm giving examples from my experience. when something happens, now this is because we are not actually so absorbed when we chant the Gayatri Mantra. Perhaps sometimes we are. But the four Kumaras, when they chant, you know, this is Nirvikalpa Samadhi. They are gone. They are really on another level. But Krishna's flute music is still so attractive. It's so, as the young people would say, so spicy that it gets in them and they lose their lines about what they are meditating or just are catapulted, violently thrown out of their Nirvikalpa Samadhi. You know, it's so wonderful. What else is there? This sound of Krishna's flute has caused Lord Brahma, who was sitting on the lotus flower creating the universe, to become totally confused. He couldn't continue with his creation and so on. He was... I once heard, when the flute sound of Krishna comes, the lotus on which Brahma sits starts to shake, and he goes like, woo, woo, woo. It is really moving like this. And Anantadev, who was calmly holding the planets on his hoods, was moving in this way and that way, due to the transcendental vibration from Krishna's flute, which penetrated through the coverings of the universe and reached the spiritual sky. This is music. This is music. This is the real music. We hear that every sound comes ultimately from Krishna, starting with the original sound, who knows that's the pranava. Om is coming also out of Krishna's flute. His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj writes in, I believe it's his first book, about an experience he had meditating in the Ganga, where he was hearing this beautiful sound of Mother Ganga rushing about. I really encourage you to, when you have the opportunity, perhaps on a pilgrimage to Badrinath, to leave the pilgrim path or the street where your vehicle goes and go down to the Ganga and sit there and hear this divine heavenly music of Ganga flowing by. It's really, and he felt when he heard that, the sound of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Ram Ram Hari Hari. Now, this is an example how in one sound there is hidden another sound. No? And those who are sitting in the Ganga, it's a common experience for those who are perceptive of these higher spiritual realities, that you can hear in one sound another sound. So in Krishna's flute, all the sounds are there. So it is described, I will just quickly go there. When Krishna arrives in the forest of Vrindavan, he gets into the position of the flute player. That means his flute is here in this direction, and he tilts. No, how is it? It's in this direction. He tilts his head. He plays the flute cheek on his left arm. So it's a left like this. And he makes his eyebrows dance. What is it like? I'm bewildered. No, like this, because Radha is next to him and he wants to lean towards Radha. So that is how you can know. Then he makes his eyebrows dance. Can you hear this? Get this? Then what else? He moves his fingers deftly, all to announce his arrival in the forest of Vrindavan. Why does he want to announce his arrival? Well, everyone in the forest of Vrindavan is just hoping that Krishna comes. And in this way, Krishna announces his arrival and takes the pangs of separation out of their heart. And so when he plays his flute, the peacocks dance madly. Other creatures become stunned. When the demigods cross over, their vimana stop. Go, vimana, go, 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 vimana, go. It doesn't go any longer. It stops because Krishna's sound is there. And it's so attractive. No. Mm-mm. And the wives of the demigods, although they are married to these beautiful-looking Gandhavas who don't sweat and don't smell, you know, although they are having these husbands, in the presence of their husbands, they become, Cupid enters their heart and they become attracted to Krishna. And it shows the belts loosen. You know, they get ready for erotic feelings, you know. The cows and calves stop eating and drinking. Their ears come up like cups to get every sound of it. And in this way, even the trees respond to Krishna's flute play. They tremble in ecstasy. That's music, you know. That is Krishna's flute play. The fourth quality is called Rupa Madhurya. He has a uniquely sweet beauty. Rupa Goswami points out that usually ornaments which we put on our bodies enhance our beauty. But here it's different. Krishna's ornaments get beautified by Krishna's beauty coming out of the beauty. The beauty is so attractive that even Krishna is attracted to his beauty. Now you might say, there's not something special. I am also very attracted to my beauty. When I come by a mirror, I make sure I look there and adore myself. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur knew this, so therefore he didn't want to have mirrors in his ashram, because mirrors, he argued, would enhance the identification with the body, you know. So he said, what's so special if Krishna becomes attracted to his beauty? He's just like me. No, he's not like you. He doesn't have an ego, an ahankara. He doesn't have a knot in the heart, which brings about this misconception that you are someone you are not, the body. So Lalita Madhava explains this like this. One day, Krishna happened to see the reflection of his beautiful form reflected in the jeweled foreground. That is the bottom. Sometimes it is also said in a pillar. Upon seeing this bodily reflection, he expressed his feelings and he said, "How wonderful it is that I have never seen such a beautiful form. Although it is my own form, I have a desire in my heart now. I want to embrace this form just like Radharani embraces it and enjoy celestial, that's something like paradisical or heavenly bliss." This statement, Prabhupada says, shows how Krishna and his shadow reflection are one and the same. There is no difference between Krishna and his reflection, nor between Krishna and his picture. That is the transcendental position of Krishna. So, yes, these are the four special qualities of Krishna. Can we repeat these qualities, please? What is the first quality? Lila Madhurya, excellent pastimes. Second quality? I'm sorry? Prema Madhurya, this means the prema of his devotees who surround him in an extraordinary way. Remember the blinking thing and the Radharani's falling in love with three people, so in her mind it was the same. And then Venu, the flute, and finally, was there finally? Yes, Rupa Madhurya, his beautiful form. Now we could say, yeah, these are symptoms which Krishna shows outside. But I think the real beauty of a person, would you agree, is his internal beauty. How we become especially attracted to someone who's beautiful in his heart. Would you agree? So Rupa Goswami describes in another work, the Ujjvala Nilamoni, that there are three types of qualities of Krishna. One of bodily qualities, one are verbal qualities, how he speaks, and the third are mental qualities, how he is in his mind, how does he think, how does he feel. And this is expressed in, I must say, one of my favorite verses from Ujjvala Nilamani. I have often quoted it. Vasham alpikayapi sevamanum vihite pyagasi dusahe smitasyam paradukala vipikatarangme harim udviksha manastanoti trishnam. An example of Krishna's mind, his beautiful mind. Krishna becomes controlled by one who performs even the slightest, that is the tiniest amount of seva. Oh, this person did something for me. Are you getting tired or enough, you're so silent. This can be two things in ISKCON. You are listening attentively or you are fast asleep. And I can't. I think we should have some air. Somehow I feel some of you will profit from air. So I know for you who's sitting close to the air, it is tapas, no? Some tapas today. So yes. So this is always what I really wish to point out. So many of you are beating themselves up for not being good enough. It is helpful for us to know that Krishna sees even the slightest amount of service. Of course, if we want to do more service and can do more service, this is very, very nice. I have seen this in Prabhupada also. Srila Prabhupada had, we Prabhupada disciples are not always angels, although we like to say this in public, but there was once an older devotee, I will not tell his name, who was taking hashish, and he was really old, and he had done so much service in the past to help Prabhupada make this movement. But later he had embraced Maya also a little, not just Krishna always. So this devotee came to the Calcutta temple and got the special room. He's so old, so senior, so respectable. But devotees could see in his eyes, you can see when someone takes hashish, they're a little red, and or marijuana. There are symptoms you can see, and the devotees knew this devotee was going out and getting the cheap stuff in town. So they phoned Prabhupada and said, "What should we do? This devotee takes drugs." Prabhupada said, "Tell him if he takes drugs, he is no longer my disciple."
Wow, that's heavy. To be rejected,
where will you go after that? So there was Tama Krishna Goswami, who at that time was Srila Prabhupada's secretary. He said, "Prabhupada, will you reject your disciples?" And Prabhupada said, "Of course not, but he should stop." This being grateful of any little service is the sign of a great mind. Being critical of mistakes is the sign of a small mind. The great people will see the good. The small people will see the bad. No? So Krishna, the greatest of all, he is so, and therefore, sometimes it's good, my dear devotees, to just stop and not keep on thinking what you have not yet attained, where you are not yet perfect, but think about what you have done, what opportunities you have been given by Krishna, how much you have chanted, how much prasadam, how much seva you have done, and appreciate that and go from there. You know, a mind which you beat up will not be your he will be afraid of you, and he will become more negative. You have to encourage. Prabhupada used to say, one of my pastimes of Prabhupada, which I like very much, is Prabhupada was going on a morning walk, and after talking about the successes of the preaching, his devotees complained about devotees who were uncooperative. And then it went on and on. You know, this person is not following. This person is doing this. And so on. And then Prabhupada just stopped his morning walk, put his cane in the ground. That means he wanted to say something. He looked at all of the devotees. I was not there. I heard about it later. He said, all of you have come to complain. Only I have come to encourage.
Wow.
Then Prabhupada continued to walk, and again he stopped and he looked at everyone and said, all of you have come to complain. Only I have come to encourage. I think when we speak of entering the family of Krishna, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, we should see if we can encourage devotees in whatever way they are. If we can see them with the eyes of this, Krishna becomes controlled, wow, by one who performs even the slightest service. What a big mind. He smiles patiently even if an intolerable offense is committed to him. He smiles. He is forgiving. His heart becomes tormented if he sees others suffering even slightly. When I consider the Lord, my heart becomes thirsty for him. This is what the devotee says. No, so he speaks about Krishna's mind. What does he like about Krishna's vision of his devotees? Do you remember? I think you know. He's grateful for even the slightest amount of service. What does Krishna think when someone is offensive towards him? What does he do? He smiles forgivingly. And what is Krishna thinking when someone suffers? His heart becomes tormented. Yes, he doesn't go, wah-ha-ha. He got what he deserved. No, his heart becomes tormented. These are beautiful qualities which show you the qualities of Krishna's mind. Now I want to end now. My whole point is we should hold Krishna in the heart, the way, the Krishna with the four qualities. You must know, we must ask the question, where does this Krishna live? Remember the verse? Vrindavan Dham. He is a resident of Vrindavan Dham. So there's a border, Jiva Goswami explains in his Sandarbhas, around Vrindavan Dham. It's a very subtle border. And the Krishna, which we have heard about and which we worship, is always staying within that border. He never, ever leaves the boundaries of Vrindavan. Krishna remains there eternally because of the transcendental love of the residents of Vrindavan. That's how Prabhupada says this. Prabhupada says, thus, although Krishna is not visible in Vrindavan now, he is not far away from Vrindavan for a moment. It means he is not in the prakata dimension, in the manifest dimension, he's in the uppercut dimension, which you can access through bhava, through devotion, through internal devotion. Jiva Goswami makes a great distinction between avatari and avatars. Avatari is Krishna, the source of all avatars, and avatari, I hope I said it, is Krishna, the source of all avatars. And avatars are like Vishnu, Matsya, Kurma, which come from Krishna. And this avatari, original Krishna, always stays in Vrindavan. And he quotes a particular pastime of Krishna. I will just briefly remind you, I will not tell the entire pastime. You remember when Akrura took Krishna out of Vrindavan to bring him to Mathura. The Krishna and Balaram ascended the chariot. Now when they came to the boundary of Vrindavan, which separates Vrindavan from Mathura and Dwaraka and everything else, they requested to take a bath. So they went into the Jamuna, and there in the Jamuna, they transformed into Vishnu. Krishna transformed into Vishnu, lying on Balaram's transformation, who was Ananta Sheshan. They were surrounded by many, many, many sages glorifying them with the best of Vedic hymns. So they transformed. Then when Akrura continued, he prayed to this form, and then when he continued his journey, Krishna, who was the Vishnu Krishna, ascended on his chariot. Balaram, who was the Ananta Shesh in the water, ascended, and they went to Vrindavan, and Krishna and Balaram walked back to Nandagram and everywhere. So this is the point is here that Krishna always stays in Vrindavan, and the other forms are always in him. When Krishna kicked the demons, you know, and it was actually the Vishnu portion in him, because his hand is very soft. I don't know if you have ever if you have kicked someone. It's more painful if you're not used to smash someone, because it gets on your skin and you could break your hands. You were good, pious souls. I know these things very acutely. You know, it's when you get into a fight, better get the equipment so that you are not hurt, you know. So Krishna is very, 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 very soft. And the ones who fought was the portions of the avatars which come out of, what is the word for the cause of all avatars? Avatari, yes, the one avatari. That is Krishna. So therefore, my dear devotees, conclusion of this long lecture, I'm sorry if it was a little long for some of you. After all, this is a marathon of hearing about Krishna. Conclusion is Krishna, 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 if you would like to say it. Krishna, 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 only Krishna. But here comes my question. When you leave Goloka Vrindavan, how will you meet that Krishna? Yes, some of us are not near devotees. And some devotees are quarrelsome people. Yeah, we are very quick with mechanical answers, which we have heard, which we have not thought. I'm asking a question to you, and I'm requesting you to give an answer of what do you do to meet Krishna. I think we don't believe in this after all these years, but it needs to be repeated. The first place where you can meet Krishna is in the holy name, but only when you chant offenselessly. And believe me, according to Haridas Thakur, as he is quoted by Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Harinam Chintamani, it all comes from inattentive chanting. Inattentive chanting. That is, which we all do, older and younger devotees alike. It is therefore that we don't meet Krishna. We have to step up our process of our chanting and so on. That's one place where the Lord appears, especially in Kali Yuga. Then he can come to us in holy scriptures. Remember the Brahmana in South India who could not read Sanskrit, but he read with so much faith that he was crying while everyone around him, South Indians are good in Sanskrit, was laughing their guts out. Do you remember? And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, why are you crying while you are stumbling through the Gita? The Brahmana said, when I hold this Gita in my hand, I see Krishna riding on the chariot of Arjuna. Well, he had the samadhi vision. He saw Krishna. And sometimes in holy scriptures, when you read the Bhagavatam, and then perhaps stop and for a moment say, what did I read? You will see something will come in your memory, something that had touched your heart. Hold that something. In the holy Dham, you can meet Krishna in the deity, like Madhavendra Puri showed, but also you can meet him in the hearts and the words of his pure devotees. It's not that you... It's good to hang out with everyone. I will speak modern language like you use outside the class. It's necessary to hear from pure devotees who carry Krishna in their hearts. And that is done through... I always like to go back to Prabhupada's tapes and hear from there. There we can meet Krishna, like when he says, Krishna, 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 you know, like we have to, it does something to your heart. He really is carrying Krishna in the heart. Govinda takes his rest there. So I want to wish you a wonderful Jamashtami. Keep Krishna in your heart. I do hope there were some inspirations in these many words which we have collected today. So before I will stop, I will see if you have any questions which you would like to ask at this point in your life. Yes, I see Mangala and I see Vipula. Let's start with these two. Yes, Mangala, we have a microphone for you, which is just now coming.
Krishna, thank you very much for this very inspiring and Krishna-filled lecture. And you said something that I found very interesting, that Krishna is in the upper cup realm, and we can enter through Baba. And I'm wondering, can you expand a little bit on this Baba? What is it like? Where can I get it?
Yeah, so the question is clear. You can access the non-manifested Krishna through Bhava. There is one verse which Prabhupada used as the basis of his movement. It says, it starts with Krishna Bhavanamrita. Let us hear the beautiful verse of that. This is a verse which is very important. Prabhupada took the term Krishna consciousness from it. So, thank you. Krishna, rasa, the rasa, the taste of Krishna. Krishna bhava, the feelings of Krishna, the bhava in Krishna can be obtained. The nectar of Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada said, translated this, or the nectar of deep feelings for Krishna can be obtained only by one prize, not by pious work. But only by eagerness. And this eagerness itself is a devotional feeling, a devotional bhava. That eagerness is for Krishna is often a gift. This feeling of bhava, of eagerness, is always is a gift, and we must know where we can collect this gift. See, Mangala, if you want, it is said the best honey, which is most fragrant, is the honey of the lotus flower, who grow in the pond. But if you wish to get the honey from the lotus flower, you don't go to the lotus flower directly. You go to those who collected that honey. These are bees. They stay nearby in a beehive, or in India you see that they are all together in one big bee state. And there you find this. So that bhava, it is a gift, and it is found usually in the association of Krishna. Therefore, Kavi Kanapur, as Madhavananda has quoted yesterday, him, he said the bhakti has a lineage, you know, a family of bhakti, like a family tree. And the bhakti tree, it originates from the mercy of Krishna, the kripa, and also from attachment to devotees. That's mother and father of bhakti. You know, kripa must be there, the gift of Krishna must, and the devotees too, you know, mother and father. So that's how we access these genuine devotional feelings of hankering and so on. And we are always struck in our heart the moment we find a devotee expressing his bhava to Krishna. I have seen devotees, and I've seen my spiritual master. You know, he was singing in Mayapur, and all of a sudden he stopped his Radha Madhava. He was stunned. We all, oops, wow. And then he started to cry. And afterwards he felt very embarrassed. He did not, he did not like to be seen like this, or show this in the public. But we could see that these words, Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari, he saw the what is in the kunja, and he was so touched by it that tears came like a rainfall. And that's what is required. Love is not an abstract thing. It is something very profound in the heart. And here is that is how we can access. And the amazing thing, though, is that Krishna, in his mercy, is giving this bhava also to those who contact just slightly the Panchanga Bhakti. In the Nectar of Devotion, I know from Nectar of Devotion Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, I've not read much of the original, but there is a statement that someone who comes to Vrindavan, he feels attracted all of a sudden. And Jiva Goswami makes it very clear, this particular Rati is also bhava, love. No? It comes to those, it's actually not Jiva Goswami, Rupa Goswami writes a verse about this, who even slightly touch this. So sometimes you do see that even newcomers, by the mercy of Krishna, remember, the mercy of Krishna is one of the reasons how bhakti comes, even new devotees will feel these extraordinary feelings. During kirtan is another thing. Have you not also in your own lifetime seen, sometimes during kirtan you think, wow, now it's really going, you know, now I'm really feeling something for Krishna, no? So, but this, I think, is mercy of Krishna. So, we go on parallel lines. We pray, Kripa Guru, Kripa Guru, Kripa Guru, give your mercy, give your mercy, give your mercy, and we are looking for Vaishnav Sangha. Where this is, you know. It does not mean to just hang out and speak about mobile telephones. There is no Krishna Bhava coming, you know. Or to be in this group and think, wow, this group, total good group, you know, my group is the best. It doesn't come there. You must have, there must be Krishna there. Yeah, much more can be said. If you have interest in this, I'm very interested in this myself, so we can talk personally. Mm-hmm. Vipula. Hare Krishna.
I have a little comment in my brain, not one question.
Yes, please.
It's like, yes, it is important to hear the stories and lilas from Krishna, but still it has to be on the level of advancement. It has to correspond to a level of advancement. So like, almost everybody can, you know, read Krishna book, but Gopal Chakku is a different story. So it would be wise to have a guidance of some advice about what you can see on the heart and the directness to do.
We can talk about it privately. Yes.
We have talked about Krishna in Vrindavan, with food and so on. But in this comment, in this commentary, the purport, he writes, we should concentrate on the Varaha dish, actually.
As was present before Arjuna.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And we know, I mean, there's a gulf of difference, so to say, between Nantanantana Krishna and Varaha Krishna, Vasudeva Krishna. Yeah? So I was wondering here, because, like, you know, Vrindavan has many guards. Before you enter, you have to go to like many levels, so to say, of tests.
Mm-hmm.
And if Prabhupada drives that you should concentrate on Varakadish Krishna or Vasudeva Krishna, because he is like one of the last guards before we enter, and he can really check our heart if there's some contamination. So I was wondering if this could be the reason for the testing.
Yes. Let me give you the foundation of who was on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, because that's the form which Krishna, which Arjuna saw. When we just heard Krishna never leaves Vrindavan, you know, that's, and Prabhupada has agreed to this. He has, I quoted Prabhupada also on this, not just Jiva Goswami. So, my dear devotees, so it seems there's a contradiction. First, Prabhupada says we should think of the form, very form of Krishna, who's bluish, who has a flute in his hand. We know the flute doesn't come on the battlefield. It's not even in Dwaraka, the flute. And who has a peacock feather on his head. The peacock feather, Krishna feels awkward with the peacock feather among Kshatriyas in Dwaraka. He actually, in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, he says, no one appreciates me playing the flute here. He feels, you know, coming out and playing, they laugh perhaps that he, you know, about him. So I don't play the flute here. Only my loving devotees in Vrindavan are like this. So Prabhupada, in the purport, says in the beginning of his lines, he says we should meditate on Krishna with the two hands carrying a flute, the bluish boy with a beautiful face and peacock feathers in his hair. And then later, and he says we should not think about the multiforms as Vishnu, Narayan, Rama, Varaha. And then he says, we should concentrate our mind on the form that was present before Arjuna. So, Vipulaji, yes. The way I understand this is where Prabhupada really takes a long time to explain the Vrindavan Krishna. Srila Prabhupada himself, he was an ambassador of Vrindavan to the world. He, if you so want, he started his movement, or in a way he wrote the Bhagavatam there. He stayed for a long time, and when it came to giving up the body, he went back to Vrindavan. He said, Vrindavan is my home, and other places are something else, a place of worship and office and so on. In my mind, I have no doubt whatsoever that Prabhupada presents the Krishna which is dear to Lord Chaitanya. But you must see, Prabhupada wanted to bring Krishna consciousness to the entire world. That was his. That was why he left Vrindavan and went. And you know, there are many perspectives on God. There are many perspectives on God, and there are some more opulent based, like Christianity, Islam. There is many conceptions about God, and Prabhupada did not go to fight with these conceptions. He said, you can stay a Christian, and like Madhavananda yesterday spoke about the lady who had this, do you know what is a burqa, where you see, it almost looks like the helm of a knight, you know, there's only a little thing to see, you know, Muslim dress. Prabhupada said, it's all right. He was open for that. Because how will you argue against someone? So if Vipulaji, if you want to worship the Dwaraka Krishna, I will not say anything against it. why? How could we argue? How could we? If we start to fight in our movement, which Krishna is the best? Are we not much better than the religions who fight against each other? Yes, let everyone what they feel attracted to. That today on Krishna's appearance day, I wanted to speak about the four qualities which make Krishna so worshipful, and I might have hoped that I have convinced you to worship the Krishna Vrindavan. But yes, there are many perspectives of God, and let's not enter the quarrel here about, you know, so many devotees, you know, when I'm in India, they all, I meet them all, and they want to always quarrel with me about different aspects of, I say, Prabhu, this is not a matter of quarreling. This is a matter, here we talk about love, you know, this is not a matter of different arguments and so on. You do what you wish, and main thing is purify your heart, you know. If you see, your heart gets purified. Wonderful. Hare Krishna. Krishna. Yes, Madhavananda. Yes, Madhavananda, Prabhu.
Just a quick reflection on what he was saying. First of all, Krishna's speaking this in Bhagavad Gita. This is Prabhupada's commentary. Prabhupada's Krishna's statement. And so he's speaking about the Krishna who's saying this.
Yeah, oh yeah.
On the battlefield of Bhagavad Gita. Later on, Srila Prabhupada in the 10th canto makes a distinction between Mathureshwar Krishna and Vrindavaneshwar Krishna. But he's not doing that here, he's keeping it very simple. I don't have any converse or any disagreement at all.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, thank you. That's very nice, very good. It's, yeah, he's speaking. It's a commentary on the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna's there talking to Arjuna, and yeah. Good. But please, this is so beautiful about Krishna consciousness. I really love this because I have been born with a chip for spirituality in my head, which is seeing the seeing the spiritual element everywhere, and I'm happy. I do things like going to a Christian church, and not to chant my rounds. I like the atmosphere there, because it's not as busy as the town sections. I also, when I was Sankirtan devotee, I would regularly go to sleep in Christian's church because there's peace, you know. I mean, I was little, so much hard work to distribute the books. Some rest after midday prasadam was required. And I felt I'm here with my Lord, you know. So I have this. Hare Krishna. Good. So I think now is a wonderful time to end. Do you remember the places where you can meet Krishna?
Yes.
Yeah? Will you try? Or is it holy name? Wow. But without absorption, I always say it positively, without inattention or without aparat. With absorption, and all these things. And also, if you liked, you can come to Vrindavan. We have Govardhan Retreat, woo, in our new Govardhan Retreat Center. We have now planted 400 trees, new. There's a banyan tree and a peepal tree we have planted. They are coming up nicely, and so on. You may wish to visit. Hare Krishna. So I wish you the most wonderful Jamashtami ever. I will turn now to Gaura Hari to tell us, I think soon there will be darshan. We feel it in the air, no? Thank you very much for listening, and Hare Krishna, Haribo.